Hallelujah. You can keep your riches, you can keep your fame. Give me what I just experienced right here.
Yes.
Amen. Real true worship. Two or three gathered together, he promised to be here.
Yes.
I'm glad to let him know he never fails. He fulfills his word each time. It's good to be here tonight for communion service. Communion's quite a special time. I believe every believer can say that. And every time we approach it, if you're spiritual, it just never becomes common. It's always something that you just reverence.
Yes.
And you want to show the Lord how much you love him. And that's what we'll get to that here. It's about discerning his body, taking care of his children, one another, yourself, your own experience with Christ. I mean, it's all needs to be in there. It's good to have Brother Josiah here tonight, be speaking for us in the morning. It's good to see our brother again. Sure appreciate it coming out. Sproles, I believe Brother Thomas, I think he had to work today, so I don't know if he's going to be able to make it or not. But it just ain't the same without them in the middle there, is it? Just don't feel right. And then I don't feel Brother Ken over here right now. I just don't know about this. And Sister Juanita, usually about in this area somewhere. I don't have to look up. You can just tell where they're supposed to be. But the Lord knows. And He works all things well. All things good. They'll all work together. But it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles tonight. Let's read a few scriptures. And then I'll take a little thought here. I don't plan on preaching too long, because I'd like to get into communion service tonight. Proverbs chapter 31. And after that, we'll go into the book of Isaiah 53. So Proverbs 31 first. We'll go to Isaiah 53 after that. Proverbs chapter 31. And let's just go to verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. For favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We'll just start right there at the first verse. Excuse me. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. We might as well finish. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I'd like to preach tonight just a question here. What is beautiful? What is beautiful? Bow our heads together. If you have a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord, as we approach His Word, God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You again, Lord, for bringing us to the house of God in this time of communion, Lord. It's been a while, but I thank You, Lord, that we're here again. We pray, Lord, that You'd be able to be in this service, Lord, and to move in our hearts in a special way and bring us closer to You more than we've ever been before. We know we can't come into Your presence and leave the same, so we pray, Lord, that we'll leave better. believe more like you, Lord, formed into the image of the Son of God, which I believe is every Christian's desire. Lord, let me reflect Jesus Christ to this dying world. Help us tonight, we pray. If there's any with sickness or affliction of the enemy, we pray that there would be healing given tonight. As we know, there's even healing in the communion cup. May we come to the Lord's table in faith. May there be no unbelief, Lord, no sin before us, but may it all be washed in the blood and we can take communion free of any stronghold of the enemy tonight. Bless this service, we pray. Take this thought and speak to your people. Lord, let us open our hearts and receive your word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen. You may be seated. What is beautiful? I'd say in the world that we live in anymore, we're given the definition of beauty day in and day out. We get to hear what the devil calls beautiful, and too many times, but even in believers and things, we begin to use that as our definition of what beautiful really is. So, and as we just read what from there in Proverbs, I believe it was King Lemuel, I think it was his mother, was talking to him, and she told him, look, you're looking for a wife, or you're trying to find a virtuous woman, I've got something to tell you. What they call beauty is vain. And I'm glad that the Bible gives the absolute. That the world can say all it wants to, the Bible's true. Amen. Just like a lot of churches, they'll go and they've got their programs, and they'll go out and evangelize and do missions work, and they'll feed the poor and do all these wonderful things, which I've got nothing to say against. But they go without the Word, which means they've gone without Christ. And Christ's own words were, without me, you can do nothing. So it doesn't matter how they define the things they are doing. According to the Word of God, they are doing nothing. Amen. God help us to not find ourselves in the same category. If you ever you presume we're past the age of presuming, there was a time where God winked at ignorance, but that's over. We've been given the full Word. We don't have to meander about and not know where we're going. We know every step we should be taking. The prophet said, the bride has thus saith the Lord, or she sits still. And we used to make that some super spiritual hard thing. Well, really, if you got the Holy Ghost, you're walking in thus saith the Lord all the time. Because you and the Word have become one. What is beautiful? And I began to realize this thought when I really didn't mean to. I love how the Lord works it all together, that I go to Isaiah 53 for a communion service. Because it looks like, well, duh, you'd go to Isaiah 53. I had no intentions to go there for this service. But it just worked out because I began to realize that even God recognizes what the world thinks is beautiful, but He had to let him know, that's not beauty at all to me. When he read here in 53, Isaiah chapter 53, we have Isaiah's prophecy of the Messiah coming and of the greatest event that would ever take place on earth, Christ giving His life for sinners. And when he starts off, he says, who's believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Going right there that it's a revelation from the get-go anyhow. So without revelation, you're not going to understand what I'm even saying today. The world will tell you what pretty is. It's just like what Cain did when he built a nice fancy altar and he prepared this fruit and he put it on there and it was, I'm sure it was shining and glimmering and it looked great. But in the eyes of God, it was filth.
That's right.
Because it didn't obey the Word.
Yes.
And here's the prophet saying, who's believed our report? Because I'm about to show you something that's so beautiful in the eyes of God, yet you'll see no beauty with the eyes that you're looking with right now. Because
right.
He talks to the group who would come up. He was talking to Israel. He knew that they would reject the Messiah. God knew that the whole time. And He talked to them on their terms. God will do the same for you. God, get me out of my terms. Lift me up into heavenly places so I already think, speak, and feel your Word, nothing else of my own.
Sure.
Let me die to myself. But verse 2, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. And the Bible's using what the world calls beauty. That there's no, he wasn't a big, handsome man. He wasn't a strong man. He wasn't someone that you would think would be the Messiah, but that's exactly how God works. We just spoke on that here not too long ago, that when God made the earth, it was without form and void. The world would have said, God, you messed up. This age would have said, God, you didn't do it right the first time. What kind of God is this anyhow? But that's not how God works. His whole intention is to take something that looks like it has no potential,
Amen.
That it has no beauty,
yes.
That it has no desire for anyone to want it, and after a little bit of working with it,
yes.
He makes the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows. The Bible or the world will tell you that that's evil. And we get this perception of what beauty is, even on the spiritual level. I hope we're taking this spiritual now. We can go the natural for a minute, man. The world will tell you what a pretty girl looks like.
Right.
Tell you she should look like this, she should have this, and be this way. And of course, they're going to chop their hair off and wear tight clothes, but we all know that that's not beauty. It's deceitful. It's death. Because I believe heaven is a beautiful place.
Yes.
But you've got to have the right mind.
Yes.
There's plenty of people who think what they know what beauty is, and there ain't going to be none of those kind of women over there.
Right.
There's going to be women with nice long white dresses on.
Yes.
With hair flowing for the glory of God, and men
right.
with white robes on. And we know we should have hair to our shoulders in that
right.
in that time. One of those things that I say, Lord, I'll need a revelation at that point, but I believe I'll get it. I believe, you know, we think, well, how am I going to know who this is? It'll be a revelation.
Yes.
You'll know exactly who that person is.
Yes.
They'll know who you are, and we'll be able to fellowship because we all came from the same
yes.
place.
Yes.
What is beauty in the eyes of God? Now, I might as well just cut there and we'll come back here. God's beauty is in character,
Amen.
Not in sight. It goes beyond that. God is looking to the why of why things happen. Not just what's happening. He's interested in the reason.
Yes.
The world doesn't think that matters.
Right.
If you do this certain action, you know, they think, well, it should be right or wrong at all times. It depends on the motive.
Right.
It depends on the objective. They think that Christ was a seditioner, didn't they? They thought he was a wine bibber and a glutton and all these things. But they didn't realize that, look, he's the Messiah.
Yes.
All these rules that you are following, he's the one that wrote them.
That's right.
And the way you've interpreted it, you've taken the word and you've twisted it, and instead of looking like the glory of God, like Christ wanted, you've turned it into what you call beautiful.
Right.
Uh-huh. Amen.
A nice building where you come in. Let's take it to the church now. And everybody looks just the same. Got it all figured out, right? We all do what we're supposed to do. There's no personality problems. There's no schisms ever try to raise up, and it just... We just all put on a smile when we walk in. Uh-huh. All these nice cookie-cutter message believers, you know, our sisters got dresses on. They wear long hair. I'm sure Brother Jehoshaphat back in Israel looked at the temple and thought, my, we got something going on here. Look how glorious this is. And at one time, it was God's design plan, but look, that wasn't His intention from the beginning. God's intention from the beginning was to live in His people.
Amen.
Not to be separate from His people, but to live in them. And God lives in the worst of worst, that He's taken out of the miry clay. He's taken out of the pit of despair and done a miraculous work and changed them
yes.
into His own image. Huh. Well, what do we expect when we see this? I hope I ain't boring you tonight, but I believe this will speak volumes. Because you look at your experience and we think, if I was a real Christian... My prayer life would look like this.
Sure.
Yep.
I'd be able to study like this. I'd witness this way. And you get this perception that's nowhere in the Word of God.
Right. Huh.
If I was a real minister, my ministry would be so successful that no one could deny it.
Huh. Right.
Yet there's never been one in the world that came from God that wasn't denied more than
right.
a thousand times more denied than it ever was accepted.
Amen.
Even just Isaiah that we just read here. What a prophet of God. What a man that stood for truth. And even when his mentor fell, he didn't leave the word
that's
for him.
Right.
He stayed with the word. And he was faithful in a time when nobody wanted to hear the word.
Right.
And he said these prophecies, things that I'm sure most of you would have had a hard time penning down. That a virgin shall conceive. But the prophet knew where he stood. He knew who he had talked to. Yet this man, at the end of his ministry, how many knows what happened? The same people he went to save were the ones that took him and sawed him in half. And the world will tell you, that's a disgusting situation. And in one way of looking, that's exactly right. It was a very terrible thing. But the eyes of God saw beauty. Because beyond that, he saw a character in Isaiah. He saw a man who had a backbone. Too many Christians anymore. We done gave up on that one. Oh, the world is too, it's just too much influence. I just have to do this little worldly thing here and worry about this over here. What do the boys think of me if I might be too Christian for them? What are you going to do if you're too Christian?
Right.
You got to send someone to a second hell? I mean, what do you expect to happen? People are too afraid to do something,
yes,
and you're doing nothing and you're worse off.
Right.
You read the Bible. What happened? Give me some. When they gave the talents out, how many knows the story? Jesus, I think it was 10 and 30 and 50, something like that. And the man that had a lot wasn't afraid to use it for something. A man that had a medium, he went and used it. But for some reason, that man that was just given a little bit. And you think it's, and they think that they can't do anything with it.
Right.
And if you make yourself that way, where you think, well, God has put, He saved me and all these things, but I really don't have anything to give. You won't do nothing.
That's right.
But if you've been given the Holy Ghost, you've been given more than there for what? But the man's perception, see, he didn't look at God, at it the way God did it. He looked at it through his own carnal eyes. He said, he only gave me 10 talents.
Oh my.
Why can't I be like brother so-and-so? Get that out of your mind. Be what God made you.
Yes.
Be a lot more. That same man could have had the same reward if he just would have done the same thing.
Right.
Do you know Cain would have been Abel's ruler had he just obeyed the word? I believe Balaam would have been a prophet of God had he just obeyed the word. But he decided not to. He sold out and he's become, Balaam to me is one of the prime examples of coming so close to being the truth. He's such a prime example. He's actually one of the, in the New Testament, they quote Balaam quite often, actually. Why? Because he's that example. He's that Judas that sneaks in. And without that, we would see the supernatural and think it's always of God. But Balaam shows you the truth, that you can have the wrong intentions and it corrupts everything. No matter if you manifest correctly. Makes sense what Jesus said. He said, you'll come to me in that day and say, have not we cast out devils and healed the sick and done all these great works? He says, I never knew you.
Right.
Why? God isn't interested in just works. He wants your heart.
Amen.
What is a beautiful Christian? That's what I'm trying to get us to see tonight. What made this scene beautiful to God? What made it to the place where God was pleased that this was happening? Let's just take what the situation actually looked like and let's think of it from standing there right now. Can you do that with me? Just travel in your mind to what it would have been like to be Peter standing there. Now, I probably shouldn't use Peter. He'd just go into self-condemnation for a while, denying him and everything else. But just somebody that believed on him. Standing there and watching. And your hopes was what the world told you what a beautiful Messiah would look like. A man that would come and he would deliver us from Rome. And we'd be real Israelites. We'd be able to serve God like we did back in the time of David. They forgot that the word told them it was going to change. The covenant was going to go back to what it was with Abraham, a grace covenant.
Yes.
And they looked up the hill and they saw this man. They'd watched the persecution happen and the trial. And they tried to do what they could. And yet the crowd still raised up and said, crucify him.
Sure.
Even Pilate, the man that he was pulled because he knew the truth. He could feel that this man doesn't deserve to die.
Right.
Sure.
But he couldn't sell out to God. He loved the pleasures of men too much.
Amen.
You say, well, God understands my situation. Do you think he understood Pilate's?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did. God don't bring you to a temptation you couldn't overcome if you'll let him overcome it through you.
Yes.
All he had to do was say, I can't do this, but I'm going to let him go anyways. And Pilate would have been taken off. I believe he'd be there today, but we know where he is tonight, unfortunately. And Pilate gave in to the people's desire. It doesn't look like a plan of God at all, does it? It doesn't look like how you take a ministry of a man that raised a dead man that was dead 4 days. He healed the sick. He went over to an old widow or a woman that had just lost her son and felt compassion and went and raised the boy up and gave him back to his mother. And this is how God caps this ministry off. Here comes a man. Falsely accused.
That's right.
No evidence that he should die whatsoever. They had one thing on that he called himself the Son of God. And the carnal mind had the picture backwards. Said, you being a man, make yourself God. They'd only know that it was God making himself man. And this man came to earth. We know he was the Messiah, but at the same time, God was able to take the omnipotence away from himself in that flesh. He was allowed to walk like you and me because he's God. He can do what he wants. And he wanted to be the one to save us.
That's right.
Because there was no one else could do it.
Right.
Every other man had been born in sin. There was no way for any other man to come. So he looked around and we know in God's thoughts. He already planned this all out. He never learned it. He always knew what would happen, what he would have to do, and he willingly did it.
Amen.
He saw that that Adam and Eve would corrupt themselves, that the whole human race would be corrupted by that. But he knew, if I'll declare it, if I'll speak it,
amen,
it'll change everything.
Yes.
And he did it before the foundation of the world, that the Lamb of God would be slain for the sins of the world.
Amen.
And here it comes, where God makes himself flesh. As I was saying, the Spirit left him in the garden, to where all of a sudden even the disciples could have said, I don't even feel the anointing around anymore.
Right.
Yes. Huh. Is he really that backslid? Is he really that condemned of God? Is there something we don't really know about this?
What?
Talking about what really is beautiful.
Right.
What was beautiful about Christ is he was so obedient,
yes,
to the Word, he didn't need any other evidence,
amen,
to do it.
Amen.
The Word said for me to do it. This is why I was born. Are you a king? This is the reason I came, Pilate.
Yes.
But in order to be a king, I need my subjects.
Yes.
And if I don't die, they will.
Amen.
And here comes this man. Look, don't make him Superman. He purposely did it in a way where we would be without excuse.
Yes.
Right.
He went as a man, just like you and I were. Like you were before you had the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Except he was spoken word. We understand the difference. He was virgin born. He had a pure heart. He didn't have to be born again. He was born right the first time.
Yes. Right.
He was made like unto sinful flesh. That means he took it upon himself.
Yes.
He took our sins upon him. And look, it's so much more beautiful than that. It's not just your sins. You know what it says here in the Bible? And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, Jesus.
All we like sheep have gone astray. He didn't leave us.
Right.
We left him.
Amen.
Yes.
And most people got faith that God can forgive your sins. But for some reason, when we get to iniquities, we have a hard time swallowing that.
Right.
That when I knew better,
right,
I did it anyways.
Yeah.
The Bible says, the Lord took that iniquity and he laid it on him.
Yes.
Now, what did it take for that to happen? Was a man stricken of God, afflicted. From the outside, this was not a beautiful situation. If you go back just in Isaiah 52, let me read this verse, or two verses. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. What was their expectation? Now look at the next verse. As many as were astonied at thee, his visage was so more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. It's Isaiah 52, 13, 14. In the midst of God saying, you will be the most exalted man there ever was, yet in the next verse it begins to describe what it will take for that to happen. And if you really understand what it's saying there, he's saying he would be so marred that he wouldn't even look like the Son of Man anymore. What does that mean? He wouldn't even look human.
Right.
They would beat his face up so much that you couldn't even recognize that that was a human being. When we watch movies try to grasp the concept of what really happened on the cross, there's no way to do it.
Right.
Because this man suffered more than anyone that ever came to this earth. And people will say, well, this person went through this, they went through this. This man suffered for all 33 years of his life.
Right.
Because God laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Right.
As a little boy, we know he was the Word. He was absolute truth. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He always obeyed the Father, even when he did, because he was the Word. You understand?
Right.
He had to see. That's what he was. He didn't have to be regenerated. He was that.
Yeah.
So when they came and he was in the temple and he said, Mary said, your father and I have sought you with tears. He said, no, I'm about my father's business right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why? He knew what was really going on while they didn't.
Right.
He saw the picture the way it really was because he was the Word. And we've been restored the same.
Yeah.
But too many times we're too afraid to take the eye salve and put it on our eyes and realize that it looks disgusting.
Right.
It looks terrible what's going on in our lives. We have this trouble and that problem, and it seems like we're afflicted, smitten of God.
Right.
Yet it's the most beautiful thing there's ever been.
Amen.
Because the Messiah came. He had the iniquity placed on him. Brother Branham describes it like this. Let me read it out of God's provided approach to divine fellowship. It was a horrible morning. Oh, there never was a morning. It never will be like that. They'd been on a trial that morning, a mock trial in the courts, and an innocent man had been condemned. And I could see here some old somebody thumping over the street going out towards Calvary. And as I looked, there was a little fellow. The Bible said there was no beauty that we should desire him. He had a cross on his shoulders and the blood streaks across his back and a mocking crown of thorns on his face and the spittle of the cruel drunken soldiers hanging off his face, dragging down the street. The old cross dragging out the bloody footprints of the bear. As he starts up the mountain, I see his garment just soaked in blood, splashing against the sides of his leg, a sight that no man that ever knowed what it meant could look at it, and it remained the same. There he was. Amen. Oh, the devil always doubted him. The devil thought he was just a prophet. The devil was sure then that he was just a prophet, because how could God ever let somebody spit in his face?
That's right.
How could God ever be beaten into a pulp? Why? It was the same reason it couldn't be a prophet. It couldn't be an angel. It had to be God who come to hunt his lost children in the Garden of Eden. Did he send an angel? Did he send a prophet? He came himself.
Yeah.
That's how God came manifest in the flesh in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. This was the most beautiful thing that ever happened on the earth.
Yes.
Was a man that was beaten every step of the way. A man that was carrying a cross. A man that was bloody and torn. A man that was condemned even though he was innocent. A man who wouldn't even lift his voice to speak up for himself. And the world will tell you this was a catastrophe. Had this happened in our judicial system, they would have said it was the greatest flunk that ever happened for them to condemn a man to this level when he was innocent the whole time. But God looked at this and he had pleasure. It's hard. See, you've got to leave the flesh. The flesh can't handle that. The flesh can't pain. Flesh can't say pain has a good purpose. They can't do. They can't do that. They can't say hardship has a good meaning if you commit it to the Lord. Your flesh will not do that, because it takes character to accept the will of God in the midst of hardship. What made it so beautiful is, why was that man doing that?
Amen.
That changes everything. Then it becomes, instead of Jesus being innocent, it was Jesus not worried about himself, but knowing that we were guilty.
Right.
What made it beautiful is that this man was fulfilling what he said was the greatest love you could ever show.
Yes.
That a man would lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
What made this so beautiful was that a man was being the most selfless that any human being had ever been in existence and ever could be and ever will be. It made it beautiful because of what was really going on to the spiritual mind, to the mind that could look past the flesh, look past the disgustingness of the situation, and could see what was really going on. Now, I hope you ain't just putting it 2,000 years ago, because the Word of God is always profitable and in reproof for doctrine, and it's always applicable to our age. It's the same in this age. The Word has returned, and we've formed up an image of what it ought to look like.
Right.
What a beautiful church without spot or wrinkle ought to look like. And we think of a church that, no problems, no, don't have to overcome nothing. Don't have to, you brother, don't never got to worry about lust or jealousy or none of that. You sisters, don't go worry about it either. Nobody's got a better house than you. You cook better than everyone else, and we all get along hunky-dory. Ain't the way it looks. What makes it beautiful is when those things come and the Christian stands up, doesn't defend himself, commits that person to prayer, and God brings reconciliation.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
It turns everything into true beauty.
Yes.
Brother Branham says this in the invasion of the United States in 1954. The church, we've tried to send our boys to school to learn psychology and so forth like that. to know how to put over a program, to get in the pulpit and to arrange. The message is so enticing that it'll catch the people and catch their attention. And many a great psychologist go out as teachers like that and dramatize and put on a whole lot of something. And I just wonder, we're always telling of the beauty and the attraction of the church, but we fail to tell them, he that will follow me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. I wonder if we haven't made the beauty of the church too pretty for the fellow that comes in. This is where I believe our witnessing has failed in many cases. We frame an image, like I just said, a church where everybody is just in love. I understand that we are that way. But that don't mean the devil don't tempt us. That don't mean the devil don't attack, but we've got something to overcome him with. But the point, if you know you're on truth, there's got to be an oppression coming against it. The devil don't just sit back when he's getting defeated and say, well, you know, it's all right, no big deal. You're taking over my kingdom, you're taking my subjects, you know, I wrecked that guy's life for 20 years and you're fixing it. No, he don't sit for that.
Right.
He comes after that right now.
Yes,
he does. So when you're standing for truth, if there's no opposition, you're not really standing for truth yet.
Right.
You're deceiving yourself somewhere. But we frame that image to someone. I've tried and tried to get people to stop believing that, but that ain't the way it works. When you become a Christian, put on your armor.
That's right.
Because here it comes.
Yes.
We make it this glorious thing, and it is glorious.
Right.
It's glorious because in the midst of all this adversary, the church still stands.
Hallelujah.
In the midst of denominations and darkness and twisting the word and creed, even in this message, there's still a group of people who have the pure word in them. And they can still believe it and manifest it, even if they're the only one. That's what makes it beauty in the eyes of God. 1 Corinthians or Chronicles 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering. Sacrifice. Do something that isn't pleasurable to the flesh. And come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
What is true beauty is following the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what makes every situation beautiful to God. You're saying in the midst of trials and temptations and struggles and backslidings and mistakes, you want to make the situation beautiful? Follow the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
We paint the picture to the Christian of what the church is like. And many of us can fake it for a while. Then they come over to your house a few times.
Sure.
Then they come over and hear this brother say that about someone else. They think, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What about this? Because why? They weren't told the truth that, look, we're still all human.
Right.
We've still got temptations. And now that you're serving the Lord, the devil's going to come after you. He's going to try to make you jealous. He's going to try to make you lust at every single pretty girl there is in the world. He's going to try to make you greedy and worry about the things of this life instead of the world. He's going to do those things. He's going to get you sisters to try to compare yourself to someone else. They're twice the mom I am. And I understand what I talk to my wife enough. I know what happens.
Right.
It's hard for us brothers really to relate to that side of things, but it's the truth anyhow. Right. The devil attacks every one of us. Why? He's a wimp.
That's right.
He don't attack big, strong, you know, he don't care. He just wants to win.
Yeah.
He's out to win. You think of the slyest, dirtiest ball player you ever met, they got that inspiration from the devil.
Yeah.
He never go toe-to-toe with you. He's always trying to backdoor things and sneak in and stuff. Why? Because he's not a real man. He's not a man of character.
That's right.
He's not. When he bluffed, he was trying to bluff David the whole time because he knew the word had already come that David's going to be king. So we got to try to do something about this. So I'm going to find the biggest man I can. I'm going to fill his mouth with a bunch of things. And had David believed that, he would have been defeated. But what made the situation beautiful is that David believed the word anyway.
Amen.
That the same God that delivered me from that bear and that lion, what is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Yes.
Let me read you another quote here. There was no, it's out of Mighty Conquerors 56. There was no beauty we should desire him. He was marred above every man. He was probably like a little skinny, spindly looking fella. Didn't look like the king. Many times that people judge people by the way they dress or by their stature. Man is not judged by how big he is or how strong his muscles. Man's judged by character and character alone. Excuse me. I've seen men that weighed 200 pounds and didn't have 1 ounce of man about them. Man is judged by character, what he is in his heart.
Amen.
And Christ was not judged by physical strength, but he was judged by character. And never a man ever lived like him, or never a man could ever die like him. Never a man could ascend up on high like him, because he was God. I am a no man. He made himself of no reputation.
Amen.
Did you ever think? The man that made an artificial eye made a reputation. The man that made false teeth made a reputation. The man that made a wooden arm made a reputation for himself. But the man who made the original eye, the man who made the original arm, made of himself no reputation. But became a servant, a bondsman unto men who were sinners, that he might win them back.
Amen.
Glory to God. How could a man in his right mind, and this is where I'm trying to get us to tonight, how could a man in his right mind know the gospel truth of that and reject that man? Reject that God offered has, or excuse me, reject that offer God has given to save the man from a life of sin? How can he do it? I just can't understand it.
Amen.
How could you reject such a one when he's not here to make anything that you have to do for him, but just offering you a way of escape from the things that you're going to and become that for you?
Amen.
See, this is what I'm talking about. If you know what real beauty is, when you see Christ, he's the most beautiful person there ever was. Because instead of judging him by how tall he is, instead of judging him by how handsome he was, instead of judging him by his charisma as he preached the Word of God, remember his sermons? What did the Bible say? You couldn't, you know, you wouldn't even heard a flax break it, or however that says that. Every time I start preaching something, I could have quoted that scripture 100 times. I get up here and I can't remember. I don't know. Maybe that's just me trying to think. But when he went to preach, his voice, you couldn't hear him in the streets. He took Isaiah, when it says, I believe it's Isaiah 60, somewhere around there, and it says, I guess I could just turn there real quick. I don't know, 61, I think. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bond, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And what did the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, do? He read the Scriptures, closed it up, he handed it to the priest, and he said, this day the Scripture is fulfilled. And everybody looked at each other and said, what scripture? What's happening right now? Why? They're looking for the wrong beauty.
Right.
They couldn't see. Now look, I'm a little taller, so he would have been about right here probably. A little quiet man that you had to, you know, he had to hush the crowds. He needed his disciples to keep him quiet so they could hear him.
Right.
He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Brother Branham said that was the greatest anointing there ever was.
Right.
Standing right there. And if you read, I believe it's shortly thereafter, they tried to kill him.
Yeah.
How? Their eyes were blinded.
Right.
They were judging beauty after what the devil calls beauty, just the same as it was in Cain and Baal, as that life of the serpent seed has transferred down. The devil's always painted the same image of what the church ought to look like,
right,
and it's deceived every age.
Yes.
They think, well, God will start bringing back his original plan. We know that the original's return. We're getting into that just starting off. But he keeps trying to bring that back. But because of the devil's painted picture of what it's supposed to look like, they'll reject God's image.
Right.
They did it with the Messiah. They'll do it with Messiahettes.
Right.
Sure.
They did it with the husband. They'll do it with the bride. And they're doing it in this age. When you watch those leave the message, why? Why? They had an anticipation. They had an expectation that wasn't from the Word.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. And when it didn't pan out the way they liked it. When somebody stepped on their toes one too many times because they were living in sin and didn't realize that they need to quit that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's the most, I believe that's why the angels rejoice when somebody repents, because it's so hard to get people to fess up in this last day. And say, you know what? I'm just wrong. I don't got no agenda. I've got nothing to talk about. I'm here to tell the Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen. Amen.
I know I shouldn't have done that thing. I know I shouldn't have said that to my wife. I know. If you confess that, especially when you make amends to one another, if you'll confess it that way, you can skip all the preliminaries and all the funny feelings for 12 years. Just be honest.
Right.
I've heard ministers say things like that. You know, you got to play politics. I'm telling you, you think it doesn't happen, but it does. You got to watch this and watch that. If I can't just be who I am in Christ, then don't let me be anyone. Because I'm not going to be a hypocrite.
Right.
If it's not in my heart, there's no reason in faking it, because God already sees what's in my heart anyway.
Right.
Might as well just be that. And if that thing's wrong, then I've got one place to go. Right here on my knees, say, God, take my heart and change it.
Amen.
There's nowhere else to go. Many Christians, maybe that's even why some ain't here tonight. I ain't trying to judge that, but communion is a showtime.
Amen.
It's a showdown when you come to communion, because you've got to have faith to take it.
Right.
And if you don't have faith, you'll run away from it because it scares you.
Right.
I'm talking about a believer now. The world, they should run because they ain't ready yet.
Right.
Okay, but I'm talking about those that are Christians, those that's been changed. Why do so many people get nervous about communion? Well, it just goes to show there's something wrong with your faith. Because the Bible said, whoa, you need to eat of me. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
Right.
People think they're being humble by not taking communion. No, you're being an unbeliever.
Right.
Because did the blood save us, you know, until I did this? When God gave me the Holy Ghost, did He make a mistake? What is beautiful? Oh, God gives the Holy Ghost to those that deserve it. Is that what the Bible says? That's what most people think. God gave the Holy Ghost to them that obey. And the commandment was, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And the faith you even have to believe that promise was a gift in itself. So no, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. When I see people try to be humble by not taking communion, I hate to break it to you, you're just an unbeliever.
Right.
You're not being humble. God's not pleased with that.
Right.
He's not. He took him. He said, where is your faith?
Amen.
He didn't pat him on the back for trying to be humble. That ain't the humility we're talking about.
Right.
Humility of God stays with the Word.
Amen.
And the Word said, my sins are gone.
Amen.
God took my iniquity.
Hallelujah.
And He placed it on Him.
Yes.
And He made the atonement for me.
Yes.
And by His stripes, I'm healed naturally, physically, spiritually. My soul is saved.
Amen.
You've got to get to that point where you are saved.
Yes.
You are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You are sealed until the day of redemption.
Yes.
And if you'll just stay with that word, the devil can't do nothing.
That's right.
The Bible's pretty plain. There's only one reason you fall in the first place: when you are enticed of your own lust.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to, I think we can even bridge this into communion here in a second. But I'm going to go to that scripture. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 11, we'll start merging into the next order of the service. Not quite yet. I think I got a little bit more preaching to do. Is this all right tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to take a drink while you're turning there. And we'll read that first part here in a little bit, but let me go down to verse 27, just to make a point of what I'm trying to say about being humble and things like that. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And most people stop right there, and they look at themselves. They look at what they think a beautiful Christian ought to look like.
Uh-huh.
They say, well, I'm unworthy.
Yeah.
No point in coming. I don't want to bring damnation on myself. I believe most people are just self-deceived is what it is. Because I do believe many Christians, I'm not the one to say that people ain't saved in things and God the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to take that away. If God's giving you experience, you have it.
Yeah.
The problem is the devil's going to talk you out of it.
Right.
And you'll get no benefits out of it. You're still saved.
Right.
You can't. Salvation's of the Lord. I'm not keeping myself saved. I'm saved.
Amen.
You're saying you can go out and do whatever you want, quit preaching and everything else, still be saved? Yes. Because I was saved by the grace of God.
Right.
That's right. It had nothing to do with me. But, let's keep reading here for a minute. But let a man examine himself. Amen. And then what? Go home and cry and say, I can't do it. That's what most people think. But let's keep reading. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It means go ahead and do it. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Yes, amen.
And if you got a Schofield like I do, I think Josiah might actually, looking over his shoulder, look pretty similar to mine. There's a footnote there at 31. It says this. Self-judgment is not so much the believer's moral condemnation of his own ways or habits as of himself for allowing such ways. You see the difference? He's not saying, I'm condemned because I'm being this and I've made these mistakes and that's who I am.
Right.
He's judging that I allowed that to happen because I was given power not to do it.
Yes.
That's how he's judging himself. So you've got to be like Paul and say that when I do wrong, when I go to do good, evil is present.
Right.
When I make mistakes, it's not me that does it.
Right.
Do with it.
Amen.
Do with it. It's sin that dwelleth in me. You've got to make that separation or your repentance is never complete.
Right.
Because then you can separate you from the sin because the sin question was settled.
Amen.
That's right. This was already dealt with. Christ died to wash that away.
Amen.
And if you judge yourself, he doesn't need to judge you anymore. I say, God, oh my. Let all my judgment just pour right now because I don't want to be nowhere near a white throne. I don't want to be on the earth for Armageddon. I want out of this place.
Amen.
And that's what it takes. There's no man can do that for you. Many people want that. Many want somebody else to tell them what to do or what to say. Look, I can't get in your heart and make you really believe in your heart what you're saying out of your mouth. I can't make you do that. All I can do is point you to the scriptures. That if you'll repent, you'll receive the Holy Ghost. Absolutely.
Right.
That's the only thing I've ever seen to keep someone from it is they held on to something that they still loved in the world.
Right.
And you mar the image of God. It might look beautiful to the world. You might be a good person, a good moral man like the rich young ruler, a nice, fine citizen of the country, good church-going boy. And that's all fine, but that didn't do him any good. Because when the Lord looked at him, he said, you ain't coming up here. He only saw Abraham off in a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
Said there was a gulf fix he couldn't get out.
Right.
What does it mean then? It doesn't mean anything. What is beauty to God is the beauty of holiness. The beauty of obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
That's right. Obeying what the Word of God has said. And here we are on this day. And I pray that God will give us the same image of what this glorious church looks like. In the flesh, she doesn't look like that. She's got bumps and bruises and scars. And I love how one brother, he had some tattoos, quite a few when he was in the world. And somebody got on him one time because he said, you got all those tattoos. And that was actually Dad, that's right. Dad said, well, some people got scars on the outside, some got them on the inside. It don't matter. See, that's the point. We think if we're real Christians, there ain't no scars. There's no. Well, that just proves you ain't one. Because a Christian is a warrior.
Amen.
He's a soldier.
Yes.
And he's got scars because he's on the field.
Right.
He's not in the back hiding in some medic shop like most Christians want to do. Just hide in their pew and just sit there and don't do nothing. If you're doing nothing for the kingdom, you're backslidden.
Right.
Because every part of the body is supposed to be fighting.
Amen.
That wasn't just to the ministry. And I'm not saying that because I'm a minister. I'm telling you, this is why the church is sitting here walking around in circles.
Yes.
Because you're waiting on someone else to do it.
Yeah.
I can't go to your job and witness. I can't go to your family and live for Christ. You are the ones to do that, and I believe those souls are out there waiting on you.
Amen.
Now, what are you looking for? To be led of the Lord. Does that mean that there's no adversary? That probably means you're not led. It really does. Anytime I've done what God has told me, listen now. And that goes for praying for the sick, for calling out a devil right here in the building, for pronouncing a word of knowledge to someone right in the back, telling what's going to happen. The first thing happens is the devil tells me, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
Sure.
First thing the devil tells me is, you ain't worthy to do this. And people don't expect that, but it's the truth. And maybe you were told by a minister that he never has to overcome anything. He's just perfect, hunky-dory, never has any problems. And he can just beat the devil every time, no problem. You know, doesn't have to overcome, really, like you all little pheasants out there. And you believed that lie. And you went on trying to be as good as what the image that you've made of your pastor, of your idol, or whoever it is. And people even do that with God.
Amen.
They make an image that isn't what he was.
Right.
He was a man that no one thought was the Messiah when he was fully manifesting himself as the Messiah.
Amen.
That's right.
All those signs and wonders pointed towards the Messiah. But what separated him from the prophets was Calvary.
Yes.
Not just day one either. 3 days later when he rose up, that proved this isn't just some prophet. And here we are on this last day. And I'm going to start changing the order of service here. And I'm praying that God gives us a revelation of this. As we look, it's got to start with your own experience with God. Do you expect that you're just going to get down and pray and always be spiritually minded? You've got to fight off the carnal mind.
Amen.
That's right. You're going to get in war. You're going to, and just as your pastor, I'm just being honest. I hope that's okay tonight. But many times I get down and pray, and before I know it, I don't know what I'm thinking about.
Right.
I say, God, forgive me.
Right.
But there's also a time when really you don't need to think about anything. You just need to think on Him.
Amen.
And just talk to Him.
Amen.
We make prayer a religious action.
Right.
When it's not. It's communication.
Amen.
It's talking. It's communion.
Amen.
Yes.
And it's got to start with you. What do you think is going to be a beautiful relationship between you and Christ? All it is I'll say yes,
yes,
Lord, yes, to your will and to your way.
Amen.
You go to do the will of the Lord. You stumble and fall. You make some mistake. I don't know what you do. I just know what I do, and I do them all the time. What does God want? Does He want you to go grovel on the ground again?
No.
Is that what He did to the prodigal son when he came back?
Nope.
Said, oh good, I'm glad you came back and I'll save you and everything. I'll take care of you. But get down here and kiss my feet first. That's what most people think Christ looks like. That's not what it is. Even the return of Christ, that's really what I'm hoping you're getting. It's not just the man that walked 2,000 years, but the Word has returned in this day. And many people, when it manifested through the prophet of God, they get this perception of what God's like when they don't know the truth.
Right.
This God that brought condemnation on those that rejected the Word didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Or He wouldn't have suffered with them for so long.
Right.
Listen now. Even right here, you remember when Brother Branham was preaching, there's two on the front row.
Yeah.
Sitting there making out, disrupting service and everything. How many knows the story?
Sure.
What did the Spirit of the Lord do? Said, say whatever you want. It'll happen. He said, I forgive you.
Right.
That's the God that we serve. That's the God that's come back. And that's the beauty of this God.
Amen.
He is still God of judgment. Yes. He has to. And it's a terrible thing, but it's the truth anyhow. God cannot let sin go on if He's going to be a righteous God.
Right.
God cannot let sin live on if He's going to be a loving God to His children. Because sin is trying to kill us.
Yes.
So He has to get rid of it.
Right. Amen.
So if a sinner wants to stay a sinner, and God has long suffered with him as He did in the days of Noah, God, you can run His patience dry. You can.
Yeah.
It eventually winds up. His long suffering is a lot longer than all of ours combined, but it does have its last day.
Amen.
And I believe we're right there.
Yes.
Amen.
I believe God is sifting out one soul here, one soul here. And we think, and we have these great revivals of three souls, but when it started out, they had thousands believe in this. It shows we're gleaning the fields, but I still believe we're here for a purpose.
Amen.
Is this beautiful to you? Is it beautiful to you when one brother comes in, oh, never really served the Lord and thought about it, and then he comes and he gives his heart to God?
Yes.
And he's just back there raising his hands, praising
yes,
the name
amen.
Of God. Is that beautiful to you?
Right.
It's the most glorious thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Isn't it just great when somebody really gets it?
Amen. Yes.
Isn't it just amazing? And that's really the whole dream, isn't it? That's the whole. That's our whole desire as Christians. At least it needs to be. Where I don't have to follow this person around.
Right.
I don't have to keep handing them tracts and having 50 million Bible studies with them about every little thing that there ever was in the message.
Right.
And then they still got doubts and play. See, not that. But someone that just falls in love.
Amen.
Someone that just loves Jesus.
Amen.
And likes to talk about the Word.
Yes.
You if you're going to be a hypocrite, just quit, because it just, God already done judged it that way. Right. If you don't love the word, well, he knows that. You might as well quit faking it and get that dirty thing out of your heart.
Amen.
What is beauty tonight? You know, you think of a young man trying to find a wife, and many men have been deceived by this. They've looked for the wrong things.
Sure.
And it's happened in the message, too. Don't worry. Right. And plenty of that. They look for a woman that has this certain build or this certain eye color or talks this certain way and all these things. When they've missed what beauty is, a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
Amen.
And I've seen many men turn down a saint girl of God because she didn't have this mannerism or whatever it might be, or didn't dress this certain way, and go after someone that was maybe more with the times and totally wreck his life.
Right.
That's right. But a man that'll take what God has given him this day, said there in the book of Revelations, said, you're blind, you're naked, wretched, and all these things. But look, you don't have to say that way. I've given eye salve.
Yes.
Put it on your eyes. If a man, and we talked about marriage and divorce here in a recent minister's meeting, and we know that, why was the bill of divorcement given in the first place? Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts.
Right.
Because there was no love in it in the first place.
Right.
So that's why we even had to make separations and all those things like that. But see, God don't run His program that way. God don't love you one day and then stop loving you the next. The beautiful thing about the gospel is we don't deserve it. The beautiful thing about salvation is that it is of the Lord. Not of our merits, not of our... See, we're not Methodists. You better get rid of that theology.
Right.
That's where they went wrong. It's not saved by grace plus my works. It is we are saved by grace without any works.
Amen.
Works should just be expressions of love that we have toward Him.
Sure.
And that, to me, is the most beautiful thing you could ever find on this earth.
Amen.
Give me a man. Give me a woman. Give me a church that loves the Lord.
Amen.
That loves His Word.
Amen.
That says amen even when it cuts.
Right.
That repents when they're wrong. That goes and makes it right when they know it's wrong. That doesn't come to communion haphazard, but look, comes pure sin.
Amen.
Comes knowing that they've walked through the blood, not doubting, but faith. Faithful.
Right.
Full of faith.
Yes.
That God died for them. And God commanded us to do this,
right.
Even tonight in your communion.
Amen.
If you ever wonder about the will of God, there's one thing you don't ever have to worry about, and that's communion.
Yeah.
Yes,
God told you to do it.
Right.
I have received that which I delivered from the Lord. He took thanks and He said, eat, take it, eat. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? He did the same in the book of Revelations when the angel came and says, take the book and eat it.
Amen.
Huh. Same with we'll get to foot washing here in a minute, but He says, you know, I tell you the things so you can be happy when you do them. Because you know why? We finally got it.
Amen.
I'm doing the will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think you understand tonight. Is that good? Is that all right? Let's start changing the order of service here for a little bit. Let's sing a little song here. If you'd like to stand tonight with me, keep your Bibles close because we'll go into communion and things here in a little bit.
Happy today.
Sing it again.
Oh,
reverent here for a little bit. We open up our Bibles, 1 Corinthians 11.